All right, the first question I have for you is just an overall question of how is media freedom measured?
So, how is media freedom measured at Reporters Without Borders? As you probably know, we are actually very transparent about how we work, and we try to establish the degree of freedom available to journalists in 180 countries. And the way we determine this degree is by pulling the response of experts to a questionnaire that is devised by RSF and spread during sort of 6 months of the year to all these contacts on the ground. Contacts will change over the years depending on, of course, the kind of media that is really developing in such or such country, for example, if we consider that we have too many reporters from TV and we should have more online media, for example, then we will try to balance all this. So we have seven criteria to evaluate the freedom of press. One of them is pluralism. The second one is media independence. The third one is environment and the self-censorship. The fourth criteria is the legislative framework. There is also the transparency, the infrastructure that supports the production of news, and of course, we measure the abuse and violence against journalists. So each year, we study the response we receive to our questionnaire in order to make our questionnaire evolve and the criteria fit to the problem met by journalists because they change very quickly. This questionnaire is made of 87 questions focused on this criteria, targeting not only journalists, but we target also media professionals, lawyers, sociologists who can be asked to complete it. Then we get some score. Which will help us with the team of this poll department we have at Reporters Without Borders to really get a sort of a score, a mark for the country.
What are you actually measuring when you boil it down to as being as succinct as you can? What are you actually measuring when you're ranking Press Freedom?
What we measure is, in fact, the degree of freedom of press. It's not a snapshot on the journalism, the way journalism is in the country, but the freedom of press, whether it is possible to be a journalist and do your work in proper condition, whether there is a good level of freedom of press, or whether you have tons of newspaper, but there's so high concentration that in fact, at the very end, there is no pluralism, etc. And it seems that there is some free press, but there is not. So in fact, it's really how important or not the freedom of press is.
Yours is not the only organization that's measuring press freedom worldwide. What are the main differences between your survey and some other organizations? I guess the other big ones are Freedom House, IREX. What are the differences?
The main difference is, normally IREX or Freedom House also have surveys and reports every year. CPG, of course, in the US has a bigger report also. Normally, we have the same kind of findings and we publish the same kind of reports. So it's really case by case that we can see difference. For example, we could be studying a case and get some sources to tell us some news about such or such country and consider that according to what we get from the ground, such a judicial case is not good, or we know that this government is working on a bill that we consider will be against the freedom of press, etc. So normally, unless we are wrong, we make like similar reports, Freedom House being more on a larger environment with a small part on freedom of press, but of course being still very precise and accurate. IRX producing also some very large report. They just published one on Bulgaria last week, which was extremely important and really well documented. So same kind of findings, not exactly the same findings, and I believe, of course, that we don't have the same contacts on the ground, and we don't have the same sources, and so that's probably the explanation when there are some difference.
Some of the material that I've read has said that your actions and the actions of your people are somewhat more radical than the others. Do you agree with that?
No, I would not agree with the fact that we are more radical, nor political. Of course, we try, of course, we are journalists, and we, as journalists and professional journalists, aware of the field, the work on the field, we have a certain idea of what is journalism. I think we are extremely committed in our cause, different causes, and we try to always pursue our work as far as possible. So, for example, as head of the EU and Balkan desk, and I can say that, for example, in the Balkan, we travel a lot because we do consider that politically it's very important that we are efficient and firm on certain questions regarding the rule of law and the freedom of press, because our action in the Balkan countries will influence part of our action in Central Europe. So there is still some diplomacy. We work a lot with the international organization, but we are extremely committed, and probably that's the reason why we may sound more direct. Plus, we are French also, for some of us.
Okay. Is there or has there been a Western bias in past surveys? Have Western countries fared better for the most part in the past?
Western countries are still doing better than Eastern countries, for sure, in this region. But what is very striking right now is that compared to a few years ago, and really recent years, this trend that we've been that have been described in Hungary, in Poland, in Eastern country, this trend that was like a Russia-like, this Putin manner of doing things with journalists, in fact, is spreading to the West. And currently, and that was one of the main topic of our last index, what we saw was that the deterioration, the anti-rhetoric media was also extremely present in countries like Austria, where normally, which is well-ranked, still well-ranked in our index, but is stepping back. And so these trends that are typical or representative of Central Europe or Eastern Europe country are not specific to them anymore. Plus, with the, nomination of Donald Trump in the U.S. or some other leaders in South America, we've seen that this anti-rhetoric media, this way of treating journalists or insulting them, accusing them, intimidating them, is spreading throughout the world. And whatever they are, democratic or authoritarian regime, there is, of course, like the same feeling spreading all over.
Let me ask you to expand just a bit on your U.S. ratings. They've fallen in your recent surveys. Can you expand on that just a bit?
In our index, the U.S. have fallen to 48 and now is ranged among the orange country. If you look at a map of Reporters Without Borders, you can see that the good countries are the white one. The one after are yellow. And then for the first time this year, the US have become orange, which is very problematic.
Let me ask you first, where had the US been in previous surveys before the Trump administration?
Oh, the U.S. were doing better than 48 countries. For example, in 6 years ago, the U.S. were 32, like 16 ranks ahead compared to this year. Then it fell 1 year, a year after the other, coming back in the 40s and then back again to 48. So it's not only Trump, of course. It's also the way journalists are treated, the fact that there is a mistrust because of the fake news and people not believing in information in the same way as it used to be. Of course, we had to deplore the murder of five people at the Capitol Gazette in Maryland last summer. What we've seen, although the country was not ranked, really better in the past year, but still better, it's that this rhetoric against the media, the fact that there is a sort of fight against the media, there are permanent attacks, verbal attacks against the media, has really contributed to deteriorate the press freedom climate.
I see that the U.S. is ranked lower than, let's say, Slovakia. A journalist was murdered there last year. In Namibia, the government awards friendly media with advertising money. They're ahead of the United States as well. Is that really a real comparison to find the United States lower than that? This is not an accusation. This is a question.
Absolutely. As I was saying, we had to deplore the murder of five journalists in a media Capital Gazette in the US. And of course, in Slovakia, in February 2018, there was a murder of Jan Kuciak, an investigative journalist. So first of all, Slovakia is now ranked 35. It was ranked 17 2 years ago, which means that the first year just after the murder, probably because the situation was deteriorating, because we had seen signs from our contacts on the ground that the situation was not good. So this backslide was already on. And so the country started to fall in the ranking. Again, this year, now ranked 35. This grip on public TV or radio, these attacks on journalists, this rhetoric anti-media has contributed to make Slovakia fall down, but not as much as it could, and probably it will continue depending on what happens in 2019. Now back to Namibia. You were mentioning Namibia, I think. It ranks the same sort in the index, and it has been like sort of the same in the past year. In our country introduction on our website, we indeed mentioned the fact that pro-government media are getting an even larger chunk of the revenue available from advertising. So we are aware there are problems, but there are no dead journalists to deploy in the country. And for example, a quick example, but when the Secret Services were to investigate a journalist to look at her sources a few months ago, the judge refused the request of the services, and so the journalist was left in peace. So it's not an accusation, but yes, there are some countries that we consider in Africa are doing better than some so-called democracy in Europe or large country, Western country like the U.S.
Is there a difference between direct government harm to journalists and, shall we say, freelance or whatever, like shooters in the United States, as far as the ranking is concerned?
Absolutely. It's not the same type of, self-control and direct attacks are not considered the same way. Unfortunately, sometimes we see that self-control is also linked to direct attacks. For example, it's the case when the mafia is involved and there's a collision between the mafia and the government in place covering the criminal networks, we treat it differently. A murder will be definitely in our index the one thing that is that we consider the most important. I mean, although now there are ways for journalists to save their investigation and their reports, and of course, being targeted and being murdered, like it is the case, like every single week, unfortunately, is the one thing we consider the most terrible, of course.
Let me just go back to the formulation of your report. Has there been a shift away from what's been called a focus on old media, newspapers, radio, TV, and new and digital media?
Absolutely. And there has been a shift away because we try to make our questionnaire evolve and try to every year see what new attacks or infringement to the freedom of press have been really seen and have contributed to make the score, the mark of the country, step back. So we really look at the abuses, the kind of attacks, and then we try to make the questionnaire evolve. And so, for example, the fact that a lot of journalists are independent, a lot of journalists are journalist bloggers, a lot of journalists are now working from home, not in a newsroom, etc., is something we take into consideration and we try to adapt and make sure that we understand the kind of context in which the journalists work and the kind of difficulties they face.
Anything else you care to add that you think is germane to this conversation that we haven't covered?
I think one of the important thing, which is probably important for any listeners about freedom of press, in our index, which was released in April this year, we said that now only 24% compared to 26% last year of people were in a country where the situation is pretty good in terms of freedom of information. But unfortunately, given our last findings, 2 weeks after, we found out that only 9% of the population throughout the world are considered as living in a country where they get free and good information. So if you consider it less than 1 out of 10, I think it's time to raise awareness about press freedom and make our listeners really take into consideration this, because without freedom of information, there is, of course, a big lack of democracy.
Pauline Adès-Mevel is with Reporters Without Borders, and she joins us via Skype from Paris. Pauline, thank you so much.
Thank you.